Everyone, for those who don't know me, my name is Will Sandbrook, and that's my wife over there, Zanna. Basically, I was saved in 2019, so I'm still a baby Christian, so I'm still learning the word and feeding on the bread of scripture and all those things. I was my family, unfortunately, aren't saved, which is obviously a very difficult thing for those people who know already. So please do pray for them. But I was always in around Christian activities. I attended Hill House quite often, as I'm sure many of you here have as well. And it took me to the age of 22 to realize what I was doing. I read the Gospel of John in one night. I blitzed through it. And obviously the most popular verse in that is, of course, John 3, verse 16. And that stuck in my head. And at that moment, I decided to give my life to the Lord. I repented for my sins. I got down on my knees there. I burst out crying. I'm not too proud to say that I did that, but I burst out crying on the bed there. And ever since, I've been following the Lord faithfully. We attend Glastonbury Gospel Hall. So if you go past all the weird wizards and the gnomes and the fairies, we're at the very top of the high street there. And we try our best to be a beacon of God's light and love. So please do pray for our little gathering there, and of course pray for the town of Glastonbury as well, because I'm sure many of you know it's a very dark place, so they definitely need God's light there, so please do pray. But that is me.
I'm going to read a familiar passage of scripture, one of the most familiar probably, in Psalm 23. I hope you'll realise why it fits in later. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May that be true for each one of us.
I think we can all agree that that's a lovely hymn, that one there. Again, a very big thank you for having me today. I think we can also thank God for this lovely weather that we've been provided recently, although I'm pretty sure the chances of falling asleep in church increases by 50%. So please do try and stay with me, all right? Just for about 20, 25 minutes, but I know it's difficult in this heat. And again, I think it's a massive blessing that like-minded believers in Christ can come and gather and worship and praise together from different churches and different communities, and that is a blessing of God, most definitely. So today's message is going to be a mix of ministry for believers, because I'm sure there's believers here, and of course it's going to include the good news of the gospel. For if anybody here hasn't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal saviour, shall I say, I just pray that the Holy Spirit and the reading of God's word today will really work on you today. So the topic for today, brace yourselves, it's a bit of a heavy one, it's death. I know, and I bet you're looking around at Jeff and Barry saying, who brought this bloke in? That morbid and miserable. But I know it's hard when it's lovely weather like this, and you can see all the bees and the trees, and you can see life everywhere. You can see God's creation. You can see the bees passing pollen from flower to flower, and then eventually to my eyes, which will water. But I know it's difficult to think of death when it's this lovely. But we do have to think about it. And as we go through scripture and we read God's word, death, if you're an unbeliever, will completely lose its sting. It will go. We know that death has already been conquered at Calvary, but as we read through, we really get rid of death, and the whole taboo and morbid subject of death goes. And if you're a believer here, all it's going to do is encourage and excite you the scriptures we're going to read. I'm going to begin by talking about a recent study that I saw online, and it was on Psychology Today. Don't worry, I don't read that often. I'm not intelligent enough. But this one article I saw was all about the biggest fears among people. And I think we can all guess what came out as number one. And that's right, it was the fear of death. And not only did it come up on number one, it was also the only answer that everybody said. For example, not all people are scared of spiders, or of heights, or of snakes, or of commitment, all those very popular fears. But the one thing that all humans are scared about is death. And unfortunately, that is because death is inevitable. We know this. Death has a 100% success rate, and death is going to happen for all of us, unless the Lord returns, of course, which I do hope he does soon. But as believers in the Lord, we shouldn't be frightened of the fact that we're going to die a physical death. Not at all. We should actually be encouraged and excited. And as we go through the scriptures we're going to read together, that will become very clear. So why is death such a scary thing for the world and for those who don't believe in the Lord? Well, it's because they believe this. One famous atheist is quoted saying this about death. Brace yourselves, it's very dark. It says, "You will have no hope of reuniting with loved ones. You will never again enjoy being with other people. You'll never see sunset, beaches, waves, mountains, redwoods or roses, or anything for that matter. Soon everyone will forget you, and you will completely cease to exist." Grief. Heavy, isn't it? It's really heavy stuff. Really heavy. And that's why death is such a taboo subject and why people don't like to talk about it, because they believe this. I'm just going to read that last bit again because it's so really, really depressing. It says, "Soon everyone will forget you and you completely cease to exist." But of course, the Bible has a completely different outlook on death, and we thank God for that. First of all, in John 11, you don't have to turn to these scriptures because I'm going to be jumping around, but if you want the references, please do come to me at the end. In John 11, we read the accurate account of Lazarus, the brother of Martha, and that's the Martha who bowed down to the Lord and cleaned his feet with the oil, a very famous passage of scripture. Lazarus was a believer in the Lord, and he was incredibly sick. His sickness caused him to die, and he was raised back to life by the Lord. But during this incredible factual piece of scripture, honestly, read it for yourselves if you haven't. It's an incredible piece of scripture. The Lord is quoted saying, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" What I'm going to do is I'm just going to read that first quote from the atheist again. The last bit anyway. It says, "Soon everyone will forget you and you will completely cease to exist." And then I'm going to read the word of the Lord in John 11. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Now, which one do you prefer? Do you prefer the atheist or the Lord Jesus Christ? I know which one I want to go to. I want to go to the one where he says he's the resurrection and the life. Though he may die, he shall live. And that's what we have to hold on to. And again, that John 11 verse there, what encouraging words we have as believers in Christ. The first part of that scripture is referring to believers who have already gone and died believing the Lord. Although they've died a physical death and we miss them greatly, they are alive in Christ. And what a privilege we know that they are up there in a better place. The latter part of that verse applies to you and I at the moment. It applies to the people who believe in the Lord and are still alive, and they will be alive when the Lord returns. We won't die a physical death then. We'll be taken up to meet the Lord in the air. And selfishly, as a believer, I hope I'm in that latter part. I would love to be here when the Lord returns. I know that's a bit selfish. I'm not budging God. I wouldn't be so silly. But I'd love to be on that latter part when the Lord returns to the air and he brings us up to meet him there. And what exciting scriptures we have and what exciting times we have to look forward to. So as I've said, compare the two quotes of the atheist, that really dark, depressing quote, and then we have the truth of the Lord in John 11. John 11 is not the only account we read of death in a positive light. The New Testament is full of verses we can look to for encouragement. In Romans 14, verse 8, it says, "For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." And this is the same Lord that died upon the cross at Calvary to offer redemption for sinners like you and I, who truly didn't deserve what he did there. And that is the kind of person I want to be with, whether I am alive or dead. Some of you here may be thinking about, what about family members who have died believing in the Lord? We know we've talked about it in John 11 briefly, but the scriptures and the perfect, complete Bible has also given us answers for that. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14, it says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Another extremely comforting verse about death. So all those loved ones who have passed and were believers in the Lord, they're asleep in Jesus. They're with the Lord. That means that their body is in the ground. It may be cremated or buried, but their spirit is with the Lord. And when the Lord returns to the air, their bodies will be raised and made new, and will unite with other believers who are alive with Christ. And what a blessing and comfort to know that our loved ones who have gone, although they may be buried in the ground, they are alive with Christ and they will be raised again. And again, that is the perfect comfort for death in Scripture. Not only do we see encouraging scriptures in the New Testament, we can also look back to the Old Testament before the Lord was here on this earth. Everything in the Old Testament foreshadows the New Testament and the complete work that the Lord did on the cross. And that is how we can tell that the Bible is factual and true. It harmonizes the Old Testament and the New Testament. 66 different books, so many different writers, but it all links together. Just look at the four Gospels. Four different people from four different backgrounds, and they are perfectly harmonized. But like I said, we also have comfort in the Old Testament about death. In Psalm 23 that Barry read out today, I was very glad he did choose that one. A very famous chapter. In verse 4, we read it. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." What a beautiful verse that is. I'm going to tell a little story about my wife now. She's probably going to go a bit red and probably tell me off later. So I'm going to stay here for as long as I can so I don't get told off. But when she was younger, her parents told me this. I think she was about 6 or 7 years of age. She burst out crying to her mum and dad. And this was after, I'm assuming, church on a Sunday. And they turned to her and said, "Zanna, what's wrong? Why are you crying?" And my wife replied, "I know I'm saved and I know I'm going to heaven. And I know that I've accepted the Lord as my saviour. But when I get to heaven, how will I know where to go?" She was terrified of being lost when she got to heaven. And when her mum and dad told me this story, I could see them well up a tiny bit because they're imagining their little girl there lost in heaven. But again, we have an answer in Scripture. We have it there in verse 4 of Psalm 23. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And this is the part here. "For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." When we close our eyes in death and when we take our last breath, we will be greeted by the Lord who will guide us and be with us through that experience. And it's such a blessing to know that. Another encouraging verse in the Old Testament comes from Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. It says, "Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." And I see this verse as that we are currently lost down here, aren't we, brothers and sisters in Christ? We're lost down here. When we look around us, we look at the news and we see all the sadness. We see all the hate and the vile things that we see. We're completely lost. And I don't know about you, but I just want to return to my God, the one who loved me, the one who made me. I want to return there. Our bodies will return to the dust, but our spirit will go back to our Creator, the loving and heavenly God. What a comfort that is. So, brothers and sisters, I know that these verses are all very encouraging and exciting, but the Bible does also tell us what happens if we die as unbelievers. And I know that this is a bit of a tricky subject. I don't like to focus on this too much, but it's important to know what we have been saved from and what the Lord has done for us and what to warn others about. Those people who haven't believed, we need to warn them about what will happen if they close their eyes in death without accepting the Lord as their Saviour. We read in Luke 16, verse 19, the account of the rich man. I'm sure many of you know it already. Many people believe this to be a parable of the Lord, but I actually believe it to be a true event, as biblical names are included, which is quite rare for the parables. Again, that's a debate for a whole other day, but please talk to me about that. But this rich man died, and he went to hell, or Hades, it said in some scriptures. The account we read of hell is truly terrifying. It really is. It says, "Send Lazarus." So this is the rich man talking now. It says, "Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." So frightening, isn't it? Just think about the times you have burnt yourself, perhaps on the oven or on a cooker or on the kettle. Now imagine being engulfed in flames and how that would feel. Brothers and sisters, hell is an awful place. I think we can all agree. And we thank and praise God for offering us a way out from what we deserve. Because let's be honest, we're sinful. We know that. We're sinful by nature. We try our best, but we fall short of the glory of God. But God has offered us a way out. After the rich man understood that there was no escape from this horrible place called hell, what does he do? Does he fall into self-pity? No, I'm sure he is. He is very pitiful, but he doesn't. We don't read that in Scripture. Does he hatch a plan to try and escape? Because you know what men are like. They think they can get away with anything or get out of anything. No. He begs Abraham to tell his family about the place he is in. He begs Abraham to tell his family, his brothers and sisters who are still on the earth, and tells them to avoid it at all cost. Believers in Christ, this is the Great Commission. This is what we are down here on this earth to do. We know that there is this place called hell and Hades. We need to tell as many people as we can how to avoid it. And we point them straight to Christ. Unfortunately, the bad news doesn't stop there for the unbeliever if they die. In Revelation 20, verse 14 to 15, we read, "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I hope and pray that everybody here is written in that book of life. Before 2019, before I was saved, I wasn't. I was blissfully naive. I was ignoring it at all costs. I had my now wife telling me every year to come on, get your act together, read the Gospels, understand the importance of this. I'm not telling you this to scare you, but only to warn. I'm also here to tell you the magnitude of the grace of God and his love and what he has done to provide us a way out. So it's important to know about these horrible things. Although we don't dwell on it, it's important to focus on the goodness of God and the grace of God and all that we read as believers that we have to look forward to. It's important to not be naive, and it's important to know what to warn others about. Finally, brothers and sisters, I'm just going to end by telling you that there are two ways to die on this earth. You either die in sin or you die in Christ. I hope and pray that everybody here will die in Christ and will be greeted by our Saviour, just as we read in Psalm 23. When we close our eyes in death, I hope and pray that the Saviour will be there. I also pray that this has given us believers amongst us here motivation to spread the good news of the gospel to all we bump into, may that be in work or just social out and about. We have to tell everybody. God doesn't want his creation to be chucked into the lake of fire. He is a God of love and mercy. And all we have to do is accept his son as our saviour. We read in John 3 verse 16, the verse that actually pointed me to Christ. "For God so loved the world." He doesn't want his love to be chucked into the lake of fire. He doesn't want us to go there. And he's provided us a way out. And we should take it with open arms. I know I just said I'd end on that, but I just want to leave with a quick story now. This happened to me a few years back on the 23rd of March 2020. My very close cousin, my best friend, truthfully, he passed away from leukemia. Very difficult time. He was meant to be my best man for my wedding, but he was too ill. He couldn't attend. He fought it very bravely for a very long time. He went into remission. He then had all sorts of transplants and things like that. And unfortunately, it came back worse than ever. And he was given a week to live. And it was a very difficult time for my family and myself. I was blessed to know that he had put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He passed away at 26. I'm 25 at the moment. That's another year for me. It's frightening. You don't think about these things, do you? You don't think when you're going to go. You don't know what happens when you're going to leave this building. I'm 25, like I said, and it's flown by. Yeah, it really does fly by, all right? But I was extremely blessed to know that my dear cousin, he put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's now with his Saviour. Just imagine the sadness if you'd not have done that. And I'm sure there's some people here who have had loved ones who have passed. I have myself. And it's extremely hard to deal with. But that decision that person made not to accept the Lord as their Saviour, that is what gives death its sting back. That's what makes death taboo. That's what makes death morbid. It's that decision not to accept the free gift of salvation. I can rejoice that he is in a better place with his Saviour and God. And we're shortly about to take part of the breaking of bread. And that's where we remember the Lord and what he did for us on the cross at Calvary. We think of his body, the symbol of the bread. We think of what it went through there. Bruised and pierced. His back ploughed like fields. Crown of thorns smacked onto his head. And then he had to carry that splintered heavy cross to Calvary. And those terrible nails pierced through his hands and his feet. And then, just to top it off, God's wrath. poured on him. He went through all of that, brothers and sisters, so that we can be saved from the horrible place that we've just read about called hell and the lake of fire. He went through all of that so we can have the promise in scriptures to look forward to when we close our eyes in death. Psalm 23, we'll be comforted because our Lord will be there. And what do we have to do? All we have to do is accept him as our saviour and repent from our sins like I did in 2019. Cry my eyes out. And what a God and what a saviour we have.